Father, in the name of Jesus, we have come in need of a touch from you, Lord. Tonight, I just pray, God, that you would give strength and help and anointing to our evangelist, God. Lord, that you would bless him, that you would help him, that you would use him. Oh, God, that you might touch us, that you might work, that you might meet every need, oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, we'll be quick to give you praise, quick to give you glory, Lord, for everything that you do in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a good hand of welcome to Brother Webster as he comes to minister to us this evening. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I like what I feel here tonight. Appreciate the presence of God. I said, I appreciate the presence of God. Amen. Y'all can organize camps and we can do everything in our power to make something happen. We can come from all over the country. We can fly and drive and work and all kinds of effort. But if the Holy Ghost don't show up, you just well to shut the doors and turn out the lights because it's a waste of time. But I'm thankful tonight that he said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. That tells me that you don't need me to get a breakthrough and I don't need you to get a breakthrough. All God wants is somebody with the desire, with the hunger and a thirst. Hallelujah. And I believe, hope, and I pray that you came with a desire to see the Lord move. I did. I tell you, I did. A lot of you out there, I know I've met quite a few of you, and several, a lot of friends here. Couldn't dare begin to name all my friends. But I'll be honest with you tonight. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina this morning. I got on a plane. I was happy to get on that plane, looking forward to coming. But I'd be honest with you. I didn't come here tonight. I didn't get on a plane and fly here just to see you. I'm excited that I'm happy that I got to see you. You're my friends. I love you. And I'm glad I've already talked to several of you, shook hands and hugged your neck and been looking forward to it. But I didn't get on a plane in Charlotte and fly this morning to Houston, Texas, just to see you. I came expecting a move of God. I came expecting a move of the Holy Ghost. I came expecting to see young people set free, and I came expecting to see the hand of God move in the lives and the hearts of young men and women in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to say before I get too excited and ahead of myself, I am just honored to be here and just so thankful for this opportunity. Brother Goodwin, Pastor Tom Goodwin, contacted me not very long ago and invited me to come, and I am just thankful for it. Brother Donnie Goodwin, Brother Tom Goodwin, Brother Michael Tom, Brother Tolbert, many of you, just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Honored to come. And I do not take it for granted. I hold it very highly, and just in my privilege and my honor to be here. And thank you very much. And I tell you, I'm going to be honest with you young folks tonight. I came to get real. I did. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to tell you right up front. The first three quarters of my message, I may not have any friends. I hope you still love me after I'm done, because I love you. And I'm going to preach the truth to you. Sometimes truth's like a whooping. You know, when I was talking to Brother Goodwin, Brother Donnie today, I said, man, I got beat all the time. I say beat. I use that term loosely. I got whooped hard a lot, multiple times a day sometimes. I probably needed more. Some of you probably needed more too. But they did it because they love me. And I'm thankful for it today. I'm gonna preach to you tonight. I'm gonna get real with you. You ever heard that term, we're gonna get down to where the rubber meets the road? Well, I'm gonna get down to where the rubber meets the road tonight. I hope you're gonna help me. If you promise to stay with me to the end, I'll just give you this much. If you stay with me to the end of it, it will get better, I promise. I won't just leave you dangling out there and leave you there. It will get better, but you got to stay with me. You're going to help me tonight. Amen. I can preach with your help or without it, but it's a whole lot easier if you help me. Amen. All you preachers know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get up to preach and the crowd looks at you like you're a Martian. Hey, I'm just telling you, that's just how it is sometimes. Am I right, Brother Tom? Sometimes you get up to preach and they look at you like you're some kind of goofy-looking critter from another planet. But I hope you're going to help me here tonight. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 25. For those of you that were here at Truth Camp, you won't recall, but this is the same text that I took when I preached here that Wednesday morning, I believe it was, at Truth Camp. I read from this same passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it again here tonight. I won't preach the same message, don't worry. But I'm going to read you the same passage of Scripture. Praise God. Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. If you have it, say amen. Let us begin reading. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. I want you to listen to this. And the children struggled together within her. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Why is there a struggle going on inside of me? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Sometimes you don't want nobody to know what's going on inside of you. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out all red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. I'm going to read you one more scripture, Genesis 32 and 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, what is thy name? There were two nations in her womb, two manner of people. There was a stronger one and there was a weaker one. And they struggled within her. What is thy name? I want to preach to you tonight for a little while. Identity crisis. Identity crisis. Would you stretch your hand toward heaven? Ask the sweet Holy Ghost to help us in this house tonight. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Spirit of the living God, Lord, humbly I come before you. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know that I've come to do my best to obey you and to preach what you would have me to preach. Lord, I ask you to empower me by the Holy Ghost. I ask you to anoint me by your Spirit. I ask you to unction me with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this house. Help us today, O God. Spirit of the Lord, stand beside me, for I can do nothing without you. I declare before heaven and earth that I am but man. I am but dust. Oh God, I am but clay from the ground, unable and incapable of performing the work that is needed here tonight. But Lord, we know that thou art able
And Lord, we call upon you tonight. We ask you to meet us in this house. We ask you, God, to send the yoke-breaking anointing of the Holy Ghost. Shake this house tonight. Bring freedom. Bring deliverance. Bring liberty in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind every hindrance. We bind every demon spirit. We cancel every contract of hell that would come against this service tonight. Let there be liberty and meet us in these altars. We love you. We thank you for it. We're careful to give you the praise and glory and honor. It's rightfully yours. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us tonight. Identity crisis. And the Lord asked Jacob in Genesis 32, what is thy name? He wanted Jacob to identify himself. What is your name? He was saying, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Identify who you are. What is your name? Who are you? Not who you claim to be. I'm not asking who you act like you are. I'm not asking who you pretend to be when you're at church. I'm not asking who you are when you're in front of your mama and your daddy. I'm asking you, who are you? Who is the real you? Take the mask off and show me who you really are. Oh, whew, it's going to get real in here for a minute. Who are you when you're alone? Huh? I want you to think about it. I want you to think about this tonight. Who are you when you're alone? Who are you when the lights are turned out in your room and you're by yourself? Just you and the Lord. Who are you? When you're at your office and nobody's around, when you go home after church and you don't have an ego to defend and you don't have an image to uphold, and the person that people think you are can take off the mask, and the generic imitation of you is laid down on the nightstand, and you face the real you in the mirror when everybody's gone and all the glamour, the lights are turned out, and when everybody at church has went home, and you walk in your house and you shut the door behind you and you walk in there and you face yourself in that mirror. All night long, you have pretended to be somebody else. But now you face you in the mirror. And he said, who are you? When the facade fades into the darkness of the night and you face the man in the mirror, do you really like what you see? Do you really like who you are? Oh, I know we ain't gonna help the preacher too much because, well, we don't want people to know or think that there's another me. We don't want to help the preacher too much right here because if I really act like I know what the preacher's talking about, then I'll give away my cover. Then everybody's gonna know that there's another me that ain't nobody seen. There's three types of people in you. I didn't say three people. I said three types. There's the person that people think you are. There's the person that you portray yourself to be. And there's the person that God knows you are. And he asked Jacob, what is your name? He didn't ask him because he didn't know. For how can omniscience learn anything? He asked Jacob, who are you? Because he wanted Jacob to face who he really was. He wanted Jacob to look in the mirror. He's trying to get you to face the man in the mirror, because you'll never be who you want to be if you're not willing to face who you really are. I said, you'll never be who you want to be. Shato katamaha. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're not willing to face who you really are. Who are you? You'll never be what you want to be if you're not willing to break ties with who you are. I told you it's going to get real. I'm going to talk plain to you here for a little while. I didn't come to play tiddlywinks. I come to preach the truth. And I heard a preacher say one time, when I'm behind the pulpit, I'm not your friend. I'm God's preacher. When I'm done preaching and when all the service is over, I'm your friend. But right now, I'm preaching for God. And God wants to know, who are you? Because you'll never be who you want to be unless you're willing to stop and face the man in the mirror. Pentecostal preachers, most of them, if they're worth their salt, preach against sin. Am I right? We preach against sin of all kinds and shapes and sizes. But I'm going to be honest with you. Here tonight, I'm not too concerned about preaching to you about sin. I'm not really, you know, the witchcraft. Sometimes I preach on witchcraft, but witchcraft ain't really my concern here tonight. I'm not really concerned with demonology. And I didn't come to preach to you about the crime rate in our city and the murdering spirits that run rampant. I'm not really concerned with that. I didn't really come to preach to you about spirits of lust. I didn't really come to preach to you about spirits of addiction. Because the real enemy is the enemy in me. Did you hear me? I said the real enemy is the enemy in me. That's what concerns me. Because he will be the one that takes you out. He'll be the one that destroys you. He'll be the one that'll take a Holy Ghost filled young lady and run her through the mud. My God, I've seen it. Don't think I ain't seen Holy Ghost filled preachers. And today, they're lost. Today, that my God, they've been run through the mud because the real enemy is the enemy in me. They would not face who they were. He is your real assassin. I said the enemy in me is your real assassin. He is the real hitman from hell. He is your destroyer. He is your arch rival. He is your nemesis. He is really what you have to worry about. Because if you can get you under control, all the other things won't have an effect on you. But people can't seem to get a grip on who they really are. They can't seem to get a grasp on me. Did you know the worst judgment that God could put on a man is to turn man over to himself? Did you know the worst judgment that God could put on a man is to turn man over and to leave man to themselves? Psalm 81, he said, he gave them up to their own heart's lust. Proverbs said, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way. Romans said he gave them up. My God, you're in trouble. When God gives you up, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. He gave them up to themselves. The greatest judgment is when God gives you up to yourself. My God. Romans 1 said he gave them up to their sinful desire. The greatest judgment that God could put on you is not to send you through hell, not to send you to the house of a witch, but the greatest judgment is for God to leave you alone to yourself. You'll self-destruct. You'll eat yourself alive. If God took Burger King's motto, and said, have it your way. We are in trouble. You may not want to help me preach, but I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to talk to somebody. He's asking, who are you? But the problem is we have not fully asserted the potential within ourselves. We have not fully asserted and assessed the ravaging destruction that lies within us. Ooh, it's fixing to get real here. We have not really looked at the ravaging destruction that we're capable of. You have not fully seen what you would do under the right circumstances. Huh? Did you know you can't even trust your own heart? I said you cannot trust your own heart. David said, search me, O God. Know my heart. He said, see if there be any wicked way. If David knew if there was any wicked way, he would have said it. But he told God, you look, you see if there's any wicked way, because I can't even trust my own heart. You're not fully capable of understanding what you would do under the right circumstances. Given the right opportunity, given the perfect timing, given just the right ingredients, just the right chemistry, just the right night, just the right lighting, my God, just the right people, you would be surprised at what you'd do. You'd be surprised at what you would steal. You'd be surprised, my God, at who you'd... You'd be surprised at who you'd sleep with. Oh, preacher, you said that. Yeah, I did. I told you. You don't even understand. People, I know my friends that have traveled this country that have failed immorally, that stood behind the pulpit, that have preached not only across this country, but across this world. You say, well, they weren't saved. Yes, they were, but there was a struggle in them. And they never fully assessed the potential, and given the right opportunity, the flesh took them over. You'd be surprised at what you would do. You don't even know what you would do. You'd be shocked if what was in you would come out under the right circumstances. Just ask David. Ask a man after God's own heart if it's possible to stand on a rooftop and lust after another woman. Ask a man after God's own heart if it's possible to commit adultery. Ask a man after God's own heart if it's possible to commit murder. I'm telling you, you don't even know who you really are. Don't look at me like I'm goofy. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Don't act like you ain't got a struggle. That's the problem with the church today. We want to act like we ain't got everything under control. I ain't got no lust problem. You're preaching to everybody else. Oh, pastor, I ain't never looked at pornography on my cell phone. That ain't me. You preaching to somebody else. Huh? Oh, pastor, I would never commit fornication. You're preaching to some other girl. I wouldn't do that. But you ain't willing to face the real you. We condemn others for what we secretly struggle with ourselves. I told you, it's going to get real in here. We'll condemn other people for things that they do when we secretly struggle with it ourselves. And the only difference is they got caught and you didn't. Oh, bless God, I would never do that. But you know good and well, you've done it before. You know good and well you've done it before. But you don't want to let nobody know who's behind the mask. It would surprise you who you would lust after if you thought nobody would know. Ooh, I hope I ain't overstepping my boundaries here. Brother Goodwin, if I'm overstepping my boundaries, you let me know. Boys, you'd be surprised who you'd lust after if you really thought nobody would know. Girls, you'd be surprised to know how good it may make you feel to know there was a boy lusting after you. But we don't want anybody to know. Because God's asking, who are you? But we ain't willing to answer the question. Well, I don't want to go there. You'd shock yourself if you knew what you would try. Oh, yeah. You'd shock yourself if you knew what you would look at under the right circumstances. Don't look at me funny. I know I'm telling the truth. My God, even Superman had kryptonite. You hear me? I said even Superman had his kryptonite. And there's preachers that could preach circles around me, blindfolded, that have fallen. There's young people that live better than you do that have fallen. My God! There's young ladies that held a higher standard than you hold right now, but they fell to immorality. My God! Because we ain't willing to face the Lord and answer the question, who are you? Who are you? The most lethal weapon in Satan's arsenal is you. A killer, a monster, a destroyer, an assassin sent from hell. My God, my prayer is, Lord, don't leave me to myself. The problem is, we won't face the real us. We don't want to look in the mirror. We don't want to assess the potential of the things that we're possible of. And because we will not assess who we really are, we have found ourselves in places that we thought we would never go. You never thought you would get hooked on pornography. You did not think you would molest a child. Oh, yes. Yes, I can name them to you, brother. My friends, people I know in prison for molesting children. I've not lost my mind. Oh, my God. Because you ain't willing to answer the question, who are you? You never thought you'd go that far with that girl. It never entered your mind when you got in the car that it would end up like that. You never thought you'd be that kind of girl, but you were never willing to assess who you were. You never thought you would backslide. You never thought you could go that far. Because you never faced the man in the mirror. Did you know God gave man dominion over the animals and the authority over the animals? But man has no more authority over himself than a janitor in a bathroom wiping a floor. Got dominion over the animals, but I ain't got control of who I am. Man has the power to build skyscrapers, but they can't tear down the perverted strongholds in their own mind. Power to conquer the world, but have no power to conquer me. I can conquer everything I put my hands on, but I can't conquer myself. I have authority in my home. I'm the CEO of my own company. I have money. I call the shots around here. But the enemy in me gets me every time. Well, I knew it was going to be quiet. I got to hurry and get to my text. Verse 22 said, and the children struggled within her. Two nations, two manner of people, two types of people. In one womb. Two people, one womb. One womb, but two personalities. One womb, but two desires. One womb, but two directions. And they struggled within her. Struggled within her, inside her. Isn't that where most of the struggles begin? Inside me. Do you know physically that her own husband and family could not see the struggle that was in her womb because the struggle was concealed? Physically, in the physical, they could not see the struggle in her. There was a war going on in her womb, but they could not see it. Ooh, that relates to us, doesn't it? There's a war going on inside me, but nobody sees it. It's inside me. They were fighting one with the other. Literally, the word means to bruise and to crush and to fight is what that means. They were fighting in her womb, but nobody knew it. The problem was nobody knew it except Rebecca. Isn't it amazing? The struggles that a person can have and nobody knows it. Isn't it amazing what can be going on the inside of somebody and their closest family members don't even know it? Isn't it amazing the wars that can rage in a person, but nobody knows? She could have been sitting at the dinner table and Isaac thought everything was all right, but little did Isaac know was there was a struggle in her womb. She could have been at the mall with her best friends walking down the mall and her friends thought everything was all right, but her friends did not know that there was a struggle, there was a war going on the inside. Could have been playing basketball with their friend on the basketball court and everybody thought everything was okay, but what they did not know is while I was playing basketball, there was a struggle going on the inside of me. Because there's two nations, two personalities, two desires in one womb. Oh God, am I boring you here tonight? You staying with me? The struggle was so bad that she went to talk to the Lord about it. She inquired of the Lord. Oh yeah, there's some things that you don't even tell your best friend about. There's some struggles that you can't even tell your mama about. You got to go talk to God because I don't even understand what's going on myself. She couldn't even tell her best. This is beyond telling my best friend. This is beyond telling my daddy or my mama. There's something going on inside me, and I don't even understand what it is. There's something crazy going on. Isn't it funny that people struggle, but they don't want to tell nobody what is going on the inside because it's an abnormal struggle. It's crazy stuff going on the inside, and they don't want nobody to know. Can't let that leak out anywhere. We can't let nobody know that, my God, young man, I can't let nobody know that I'm struggling with that. I can't let nobody know that I'm facing that. I can't let nobody know that I'm fighting with suicide. I can't let nobody know that I'm struggling with pornography. What would they think of me? And what they don't know is there's a war going on the inside of me. But I can't tell nobody about it. Struggling with things that you didn't even know that you would struggle with. Crazy stuff. Something was wrong, and the struggle was concealed. And you want to keep it hid. I can't let it out. I can't let it out. I wish I could, because I really wish I could get help, but I can't let it out. And while you're at church, clapping your hands during song service, you don't want anybody to know, boys, that you got a problem with lusting with the girl that sits in front of you on the pew. Oh, you guys act like I lost my mind. You don't want nobody to know that your eyes keep wandering places they shouldn't be, even while you're sitting in church. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can't tell nobody about that. We girls at church, girl, we can't tell nobody that last week I sent in dirty pictures on my cell phone to a boy across the aisle. I can't tell nobody. I don't even know why I did it. There's something going on inside me. It's a struggle. It's a fight. I do things I don't even want to do. Paul said the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But I can't tell them. I can't let them know. I can't let them know that I'm playing the drums on a Sunday night. But 2 hours before I got to church, I was looking at things on my cell phone that I had no business looking at. It's a struggle, it's a fight in my womb, and it's hid because there's a Jacob in your womb. Jacob means deceiver. And Jacob took the hair of a goat and he covered his body and he deceived his father. Let me tell you something. You can try to cover your deception all you want to. You can cover it with a suit and tie. You can cover it with your standard. You can cover it any way you like, my friend, but the eyes of God see right through your deception. You can cover it. You can still sing in the choir. You can still go to church. You can still go to the altar and go through the motions. But the eyes of omniscience see right through your deception. It ain't covered. It may be covered to everybody around you, but it ain't covered to the one that sees all. Pastor told an evangelist one time, he said, "Preacher, I want you to preach to my church." And he said, "Don't you hold back." He said, "They look good, but they ain't good." Yeah. He said, "They look good, but they ain't good because there's a war." We look good. Oh, yeah, we got the standard. We got the dress. We can sing the songs. We can go through the motions. But there's a struggle because there's a Jacob inside of me. And he wants to come out and play. And I try to keep Jacob hid. And I try to keep Jacob suppressed. And I don't want nobody to know that there's a Jacob inside me. So I try to hide Jacob. I don't want anybody to see the lust in my eye. I don't want anybody to see the lasciviousness in me. I don't want anybody to see Jacob. Everybody sees Esau. But nobody knew that I had a Jacob in my womb. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody knew that I had struggled with addictions. Huh? Yeah. Let me tell you a little story about a church here somewhere in America that I preached at and some young boys that I knew very well. They sat on the front row every service, that wore suits and ties, that shouted, that sang in the youth choir, and was that way his whole life, their whole life. But did you know, not very long ago, that it came out that while they were shouting, and while they were sitting on the front row in their suit and tie, that they were dealing drugs, and they were partying on the weekend, that they were sleeping around with girls, that they were smoking dope on Friday night and showing up to church on Sunday morning. Everything that glitters ain't gold. Oh, she come ahaya. Oh, God, I said everything that glitters ain't gold. And just, my God, I got to hurry. But they sit on the front row, and everybody saw Esau, but nobody saw the Jacob in their womb. You kept him so well hid that daddy didn't even know that Jacob was there. You kept him so well hid that mama didn't even know there was a Jacob inside you. You may keep him so hid that your wife thinks she's going to marry Esau, and for 20 years she never knows there's a Jacob that come with a package. Slept in the same bed with her husband every night for 20 years and found out 20 years later that he was struggling with homosexuality. And never knew it. She did not even see the Jacob inside him because he kept him so well hid. Oh, Oh, yeah. When the lights are out and it's late at night, Jacob wants to come out and play. Mm-hmm. Jacob has a mind of his own. Jacob has a will of his own. Jacob has a desire of his own. Jacob got things that Jacob wants to do. Esau don't want to do it, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jacob seems to come alive and got things that Jacob wants to do. Jacob. And it's a struggle for control. That's why people go crazy and snap. That's why people say, we never saw it coming. That's why daddies get up and walk out of the house and leave mama and their babies and never come back, because they've been fighting with Jacob for a long time. That's why preachers, pastors run off with their secretaries. And everybody stands there not understanding how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. He was wrestling and fighting with Jacob, but nobody knew it. And then one day Jacob took over and he ran off with the secretary, and nobody understood why. It's because for years he was fighting with Jacob. For years there was a struggle in his womb. That's why teenagers take guns to school and kill 20 students and say, he was never like that. I don't know what happened. He'd been fighting with Jacob. That's why 17-year-old girls, seemingly beautiful, class presidents, valedictorians, can take a bottle of pills and commit suicide. And nobody saw it coming. They didn't know there was a Jacob in her womb. That's why preachers that I know have got caught with prostitutes in a hotel room. Nobody knew it because they were fighting a Jacob. I'm about to lose my mind. Something's got to give or something's going to break. I'm fighting. I'm struggling. I'm a ticking time bomb. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with suicide. I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling with perversion. But nobody knows it. And something's got to give, because I'm tired of fighting Jacob. And I'm tired of fighting him alone. And I've never let nobody see Jacob. They've only seen Esau. Because I leave Jacob in the car when I go to church. Yeah, I don't let him out of the car. And I leave Jacob hid in my room when my parents are home. And I'm sitting at home, and I got to be careful because Jacob is starting to wake up. And I got to be careful what I say. And I'm at church having a hard time focusing because Jacob is starting to wake up. And Esau wears a suit and tie. Esau pays his tithes, and Esau takes care of his family, but they don't know there's a Jacob in my womb. But when the lights are turned out and church is over and I get in my car, there's Jacob. And when I get home and I close the door behind me, I look in the closet and there's Jacob waiting on me to get home. Yeah, he don't mind staying at home. He knows you'll be back. He don't mind waiting in the car for a couple hours while you go to church. He don't mind sitting in the car while you sing in the choir, because he knows you'll be back. So Jacob waits. And Jacob sits. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jacob starts calling you, maybe from your computer. 3 o'clock in the morning, Jacob starts calling from the cell phone. 3 o'clock in the morning, when everybody's asleep and it's dark in that room and there's a silent struggle going on inside you, because Jacob is calling and I don't want to answer it. In verse 23, he said, the one shall be stronger than the other. Did you know the man at the tombs? The Bible says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was not led there. He did not want to go there, but it drove him into the wilderness, because something stronger will drive you, and you'll do things that you normally wouldn't do, and you'll go places that you normally wouldn't go, and you'll look at things that you normally wouldn't look at, but something stronger is inside me. Something stronger. That's why men and women do the things that they do. That's why I seen a heroin addict prostitute lady shooting in the side of her neck, trying to find a vein, and tears running down her face. She said, I don't want to do it. And she's feeling for a vein on her neck because there is no veins left in her arms or her legs. She says, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to be like this. But the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And I'm finding myself doing things that I don't want to do, because the one is stronger than the other. One of them loves his wife, but one of them has a lust problem. One of them wants holiness, but the other one wants to quit church. One of them wants purity, but there's one of them that has a problem with pornography. One of them loves people. One of them loves their mama, but the other one can't stand her at times for what she stands for. I like the way my pastor preaches, but there's another part of me sometimes that wishes he'd shut up. There's a struggle. Some of you can't even stand yourself. I said, some of you can't even stand yourself. That's why people commit suicide, because they can't seem to live with themselves. It ain't that they can't live with their spouse. It ain't that they can't live with their neighbor. They take guns and blow their brains out because they can't live with themselves. Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus didn't kill Judas. Judas brought a reproach to the disciples, but the disciples didn't kill Judas. Judas hated himself for what he did. He could not live with himself. My God, he doesn't even love himself because of what he did. I've talked to men married with children that say, I struggle with pornography, and I know when I go to the computer and look at it that I'm going to hate myself. They said at 1 o'clock in the morning, it starts calling me, and I don't want to do it, but it pulls. And I go back like a dog to his vomit. And when I'm finished, I hate myself. I don't even like looking at myself in the mirror because of what I do. I don't even love myself. I don't want to live with myself. Daddy thinks I'm an angel, but what he don't know is I can't even stand myself. Mama loves me with her whole heart, but if she really knew who I was, I can't even stand myself. My boyfriend, my girlfriend wants to marry me and spend their whole life with me, but I don't even want to live with myself. Who are you? Who are you? How many times are you going to cry yourself to sleep at night because you cannot stand yourself? How many times, like a hog, back to the water will you go back? The sight of even yourself turns your stomach. And you're so tired of fighting Jacob. And he said, it would be easier if you were dead. And you didn't have to fight Jacob anymore. Because when Esau came out of the womb, Jacob was right after his heel. You know why? Because Jacob was after his blessing. Jacob was after his anointing. Jacob was after his ministry. Jacob was after his calling. Jacob was not after Esau. He's not after you for who you are. He's after you for who you're going to be. He's not after you for where you are today, but you're fighting Jacob because he wants what God has put in you. Jacob wanted Esau because Esau was the seed of the woman. He was the seed that God had planted in Rebecca. The devil does not want you for you. You're not that important. He wants the seed that God has planted inside you. He wants the preacher that you don't even know is there. He wants the prayer warrior that you don't even know is there. He wants the missionary. He wants the evangelist that you don't even know is there. Because he's after what God has put in you. He's after an anointing that you don't even know you're going to have. He's after a ministry that you don't even know you're going to have. He's after the seed inside you. He was after Esau's blessing. He wasn't after Esau. He was after Esau's birthright. He wasn't after Esau. He was not after Esau because Esau was so anointed at that moment. But he was after Esau because there was an anointing that would rest upon Esau later. You're not so special that the enemy wants you. He wants what God wants to put in you. And he's got to stop you before you come to the realization of what God wants to put in you. And you've been fighting with Jacob, and you've been wrestling with Jacob, and you've been running from Jacob. Did you know after Jacob took the birthright that he ran from Esau for 20 years? He ran under a stolen identity, under a false identity, and under a stolen birthright. He told his daddy that he was somebody that he was not. And for 20 years, he ran under a false identity. And there's some of you been coming to church under a false identity. You come to church and you shout under a false identity. You come to church and you sing in the choir under a false identity. You come to church and you go through the motions. Your daddy don't know it. Your pastor don't know it. But you're living under a false identity. Somebody that you're not. You've been running and living and shouting and going to church under a false and a stolen identity. But while Jacob was still running, 20 years later, he encountered the Lord at the Forge of Bock. Aren't you glad that even while you're running from him, that God will hunt you down? Shida Makoshaya. I said, even while you're running, that God will come a looking for you. Even while you're under a false identity, even while you're living in a place you should not be, even while you're doing things that you should not be doing, the Spirit of the Lord will come a looking for you. And he wrestled with the Lord. Come here, Brother Andrew. Would you please? Come here, brother. Come here. Stand right there for me, both of you. And he there at the Forge of Bock, Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And there's some of you, get my arm, got the Lord on one side, and there's some of you got Jacob on the other. And the Lord said, who are you? But Jacob didn't want to answer because there's part of me that likes Jacob. But there's a part of me that wants God. And he said, who are you? I'm not going to tell you who I am because I kind of like Jacob. And he struggled. And there's part of me that wants holiness. But there's a part of me that likes Jacob. There's a part of me that wants to live right. But there's a part of me that loves the world. There's a part of me that wants purity. But there's a part of me that likes the filthiness of the flesh. And he said, who are you? Identify yourself. I'm in the middle of an identity crisis. I like it over here, but I like it over here. I like to sing in the choir, but I like to party on Friday night. I like holiness, and I like the way holiness makes me feel. But there's a part of me that likes to show myself when I shouldn't, and I struggle with that. And I really don't like the way it makes me feel when I do that, but Jacob just keeps pulling. And God is on this side saying, "Who are you?" See right there. "Who are you?" And Jacob wouldn't answer. But God wrestled with Jacob all night long. Aren't you glad that he'll never give up? You ain't getting the picture. I said, aren't you glad that God will not leave Jacob by himself? Aren't you glad that God loves Jacob so much that he'll fight with you the whole night just to pull you out? He will not leave you by yourself. He wrestled all night long. He said, "What is your name?" And he fought. And he wrestled. And he fought and he wrestled. And he said, "What is your name?" And it went until he smote the hollow of his thigh. It broke him down. And he finally began to face the man in the mirror. God wearied him and fought with him till he broke him down. And he said, "I am Jacob." But isn't it funny that for the moment he wrestled with God, he fought with God, but when he finally told him who he was, he clung to him. Because he finally realized that the only one that can help me is the one I'm fighting. And then he said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." Now it was God that wanted to get away, but Jacob wouldn't let go. Because he said, "I am Jacob, and I've been running for 20 years. I don't even like who I am. I am Jacob. Don't leave me like this." And he clung to him. "Because I'm tired of fighting. Because the only one that could help me, the only one that could hold me, is the one I'm fighting. The only one that could deliver me is the one I'm fighting. Don't let me go. Because I'm tired of who I am. I'm tired of living under a stolen identity. I'm tired of living under a false identity. I'm tired of being somebody I'm not." And he wrestled, and then he clung to the only one that could help him. And he said, "I won't let you go until you bless me. I didn't want to tell you my name because I was ashamed. I didn't want to tell you who I was because I don't even like myself. But it's true. I am Jacob. I am what they say I am. I am Jacob." Come here, Brother Andrew. And as he wrestled, you can sit down, brother. And as he wrestled with him and he clung to the Lord, he said, "I am Jacob. I am what the preacher said I am. I am what mama said I am. I am Jacob. But that's why I fought you so hard, because I'm ashamed of who I am. But when he said, 'My name is Jacob,' the Lord spoke to him and said, 'Thou shalt not be called Jacob, but Israel.' He said, 'Thou shalt be called no more Jacob.' The enemy's been trying to kill you. He wanted to tell you that you'll always be Jacob. But God come tonight to tell somebody, Shatamahotamahaya, that thou shalt be called no more Jacob. Hotamashando, he said, thou shalt be called Israel. He said, you're not Jacob, you're a prince. You're not what they said you were. I know who you used to be, but no more Jacob. Your daddy is a king. You're not Jacob, you're a prince. Your daddy is a deliverer. No more Jacob. The devil wanted to kill you before you fully understood who you were, but God come to fight you all night long. Thou shalt be called no more Jacob. My daddy's the king over poverty. No more Jacob, but Israel. He's the king. He's the deliverer of perversion. He's the king over demons and devils. Oppression and oppression. No more Jacob. Your daddy's the king. No more Jacob. Mama said you'll always be Jacob, but God said no more Jacob. You're Israel. Daddy said you'll never amount to anything, but God said no more Jacob, but Israel. The devil said you'll always be Jacob, but God said no more. Society said you'll always be Jacob, but God come to tell you no more. The pastor said you'll always be Jacob, but God said no more Jacob, but Israel. You thought you'd always be like this. You thought you'd always live like this. The devil said you'd always be Jacob. Your failure, your sin, your past said you'll always be Jacob. Your earthly father said you'll always be Jacob. But he said, tonight, I'm going to make you Israel. You say, preacher, he can't make me into Israel. You don't know how big my Jacob is. He took the dust and made stars in the sky. He took his hand and made the oceans. He took his word and made mountains. He took two fish and fed thousands. He changed water and made it wine. He took dead men and made them live men. He took leopards and made them clean. He took demon-possessed men and made them whole. He took bound men and made them free. He took fishermen and made them preachers. And he'll take Jacob and make you Israel. No more Jacob! I want you to notice somebody, please come to the piano. It says, and Jacob fought with the Lord until the breaking of day. They fought. They didn't just fight a few minutes, but they fought all night long. And the Bible says that they fought until the day broke. You know what that means? That he not only fought until the day broke, but that means he fought until the darkness broke. He fought until the darkness had to go. He fought until the breaking of day. Sometimes you just gotta fight until it breaks. I said, sometimes you gotta fight until strongholds break. Sometimes you gotta fight until depression breaks. Sometimes you gotta fight until suicide breaks. Sometimes you gotta fight until the hands of hell break, because the devil said, I'd always be Jacob. He said, I'll always be this way. But my God told me that I don't have to be Jacob. I'll fight all night long. He said, no more Jacob. Thou shalt be called Israel from this night on. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. I'm going to fight till he breaks. I'm going to fight till he lets go. I'm going to fight till addictions leave. I'm going to fight till oppression goes. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight till I get my joy back. I'm going to fight till my mind's set free. I'm going to fight till my spirit's free. I'm going to fight till the real me is revealed. I'm going to fight till I fall in an altar and the real me cries out. I'm tired of going to an altar and crying out under a stolen identity. But tonight, I'll fight until the real me is revealed. No more Jacob! Fight until the real you cries. Fight until the real you is revealed. Fight until Jacob breaks down. God wouldn't let Jacob go because God saw in Israel when everybody else saw Jacob. Your mama saw Jacob, but God sees Israel. Society sees Jacob, but God the Father saw in Israel. Your home life said you'll always be Jacob. But he said, no more, Jacob. And he said, if I got to wrestle with you all night long, if I got to wrestle with you for a year, if I got to wrestle with you for 10 years, if I got to wrestle with you, if I got to wrestle you all the way to your deathbed, no more, Jacob. Because God saw a preacher. Because God saw in Israel. Brother, would you play? God's talking to somebody. Who are you? Every hip out, every eye closed. You say, preacher, I've been wrestling with Jacob a long time. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of living under a stolen identity. I'm tired of pretending to be somebody I'm not. I'm tired of pretending to be saved. I'm tired of pretending to have it all together. But there's a Jacob in my womb, and he's trying to kill me. Oh, God. I was praying this evening at the room. I said, God, this could be somebody's last opportunity. Because when they leave here, Jacob may take control. I said, God, somebody needs to face Jacob. Somebody needs to face Jacob. Because Jacob is going to kill you. It's going to destroy your ministry. It's going to kill you. This could be somebody's last meeting before Jacob takes control. And God come to ask some young girl, some young boy, who are you? What is your name? And you're fighting the only one that can help you. He fought all night long with the only one that could have set him free. But thank God he loved Jacob enough that he fought him all night long. He fought him till Jacob finally surrendered. He fought him till Jacob finally faced the man in the mirror. Because he said, son, if I leave you to yourself, you're going to die. If I leave you to yourself, you'll self-destruct. If I leave to yourself, you're going to go to hell. But he sent a preacher from North Carolina to ask you this question. What is your name? Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of living behind a mask? Aren't you tired of going home and crying yourself to sleep? Aren't you tired of facing the man in the mirror and not liking what you see? I feel this heavy on my spirit. I have all day. And there's some of you here tonight and you're so sick of yourself. You're so sick of who you gotta face in the mirror that the thoughts of suicide have plagued your mind. And the devil's told you if you can't beat Jacob, it'd be easier if you were dead. And you've contemplated taking your own life because you're sick and tired of fighting Jacob. You're sick and tired of fighting Jacob all night long and going to church and acting like everything's all right. And you are about to break. If something doesn't give, something's gonna break. Because Jacob is about to kill me. And I ain't told nobody about it. I ain't told anybody because nobody will understand. I don't want them to know that's what I struggle with. I don't want them to know that's what I'm fighting. But God came tonight to wrestle with Jacob. I said, God come to wrestle with you. I said, God showed up to wrestle with some young man. God showed up to wrestle with some young girl. He said, I'll not leave you to yourself. I'll wrestle all night long. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. Somebody needs to tell the devil, no more Jacob. Right now, this altar's open. They're already coming. Come down here. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. I want to be Israel. God's called me to be Israel. God's put a nation in my womb. God's put a calling on my life. God's got a calling on me. God's got an anointing for me. No more Jacob, but Israel. Israel.
Just to get to you. Down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. And I'll go down 7 times in the tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. And I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. Oh, and I'll go down 7 times in a tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. Down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. There's no use trying to hide it from your eyes. There's no need in wearing a disguise. For you see in me a lot of Pharisee. Now I'm trying to be as honest as I can be. And I'll go down 7 times in a tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. And I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. Oh, and I'll go down 7 times and in a tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. And I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. I've always lived a life of just pretend. A plastic heart inside with no peace within. And now I step out from the darkness. Dear Lord, I've opened up my heart, revealing all my secret hidden sin. And I'll go down 7 times and in a tree I'll even climb. But I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. And I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. Oh, and I'll go down 7 times and in a tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. I've always lived a life of just pretend. A plastic heart inside with no peace within. And now I step out from the darkness. Dear Lord, I've opened up my heart, revealing all my secret hidden sin. And I'll go down 7 times in a tree I'll even climb. But I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. And I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly. Oh, and I'll go down 7 times in a tree I'll even climb. Lord, I'll even tear the roof off just to get to you. I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary and declare so openly that this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly.